Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
So we're going to talk about Rhema a little more. Maybe this is the last time we'll see. But if you were not here last Sunday at 11, that is on the podcast, livingwaychurch.net, that will give you just a little insight and foundation, but we'll make sure everybody knows what God is saying. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Somebody say, oh no. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, somebody say, oh no. Man, when God starts talking about fasting, the preacher starts talking about fasting, everybody gets really quiet. I'm not calling a fast today, don't worry. He was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man and woman shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of God's mouth. I want to preach for just a few moments, and I know my time is scarce on the subject Rhema. This would be part two, part three, however you're counting, but part three in actuality. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I've come for a Rhema word. You may be seated. Talking about school, how many of you loved school? Raise your hand. There's a lot more hands than I thought. Maybe nostalgia has been kind to you, and school in your mind is better than it was 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whenever that may be. I loved school, but the work always got in the way. I liked the social aspects of school. I loved playing basketball. That was back when I was 160 pounds. I loved prom. I loved homecoming. I loved hanging out with my friends, but those little tests kept getting in the way. And the principal office visits kept getting in the way. See, I went to a private school where our private school, you had to sign, our parents had to sign a letter of consent that they could still swat us. I was the oldest kid in my senior class. I turned 18 6 weeks into school, so I thought I was grown 6 weeks in. I was still getting swatted at 18 at my school. And so the swats, the tests, the quizzes, the work, the summer reading assignments, all of that, it got in the way of a lot of good school for me. But one thing I've always been is I am a great test taker. I don't have to learn the material to pass the test. You don't have to learn the material to pass a test, but you do have to learn and know the material to live after the test. And so if you cram for a test that you're going through and you're not cramming to learn the information, but you're cramming for a test, that means that you are about to be promoted to a level that you can't live at. That was better sounding in my head than you amen. And so a lot of us get frustrated because we cram for a test when we go through something. We pass that test. And I always think about this. I've been to the hospital a few times for stitches, broken noses, and a few years ago when my face got kicked in by a horse and got 39 stitches. And of course, Bishop a few years ago went under the knife. And I always thought, is the surgeon that's cutting on Dad, was he a C student? Did he make straight C's and barely pass, or was he at the top of his class? That's a valid question. Some of you have never thought about that, and you're going to ask your surgeon and your doctor the next time you go. Two things. They need to be a student, and you need to be the first surgery of the day. And you need not be their first surgery ever. Just think about that. At some point, it's their first time ever. There's a lot of things you need to think about and pray about. There's somebody scheduled for surgery. You're like, oh, my Lord. You better come get healed before you have to need surgery. I digress. So a lot of times we cram for the test, and you know what I'm talking about. You know the test is coming. You got your syllabus in September. It is now November. You've had 3 months. You have not paid attention in class. You have been passing notes, as we used to in my day, in your day. Now they text. You didn't pay attention. You didn't study. You didn't take time to meet with your friends and study. You didn't listen. And so now it's time, the night before the test, and you feel it is time to study, and it is now 10 o'clock. You sit down with your book. It's 10 o'clock. And then you say, you know what? If I wake up at 6, y'all with me? So you go down, get you something to eat. You watch a couple Maury Povich's or whatever you watch. And then you don't wake up at 6. You hit the snooze 4 times. Times 30 times 9 is 36. So now it's 6:36. You get up, take a shower, go make you some waffles. It's now 8:15. First class is at 8:45. You're in the hallway. Don't talk to me. I'm studying. They let you in the class. You're sitting there, and they're saying, all right, all books away. Time to take the test. And I'm like, the closer I get to the book, I think it's just going to go into my brain. Mr. Fender, you need to put up your book. Yeah, yes, ma'am. I got you. Mr. Fender, you need to put up your book. Mr. Fender, you need to put up your book. Slam that book. Hurry up. Give me the test. Meaning, if you don't give me the test in the next 10 seconds, everything that I've just crammed for in the last 10 minutes is going to leave. And we laugh. But guess what? That's how a lot of us live our lives in relation to the Word of God, the test of life, and the temptations of life. We sit in great preaching. Maybe not mine, but you sit under Bishop's great preaching. You listen to podcast after podcast. You read devotional after devotional, and you just do it to do it. It's Sunday church. It's Sunday. It's time to go to church. We come, we go to church, we sit there, and we hear great preaching. Oh, that was cute, and I like that illustration. And man, look at that wall, and that's a cool graphic. And let me make sure they spelled everything right. And let me see how many words I can make out of the letters in Rhema. Some of y'all been there the last few months. And then, when a cancer diagnosis comes, hold on, let me read. All right, I got a doctor's appointment next week. They're going to tell me if they got to do surgery, if I'm going to have chemo, if I'm going to have to go through radiation. Let me see. And we're studying for the test, and we're not studying to live. And we have to understand that God tests to promote. The devil tempts to demote. The devil tempts to set us up for failure. God tests to set us up for promotion. So anytime it's a test, God has given you a test, not because you didn't have a chance to study. God gave you a test because his tests are already timed out. The teacher at the beginning of the semester tomorrow will give your student a syllabus and say, we are going to have this quiz here, this test here, the final will be here, and in the next 3 months we will cover the necessary information, but it is up to you to get all that information and to pay attention in the times of peace before the test comes so that when the test shows up, you're ready for the test. So if there's a test in front of me, it says this, that God has already given me the information I need to pass the test, because it is not God's nature to set us up for failure. It's God's nature to set us up for success, to set us up for what's next and the best. So when we talk about the temptation of Jesus, there's some things that we need to talk about, and I got to hurry through this very quickly, because when we talk about the temptation of Jesus, there's some words here that are used that will kind of throw you for a loop if you're not ready. And so we've been talking about the Logos and the Rhema. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But Matthew chapter 4, verse 11, Jesus was led up of the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, when you read that verse very quickly in its entirety, you really don't get the heaviness of that text. But when you actually read the entire text broken up, that Jesus was led of the Spirit. Now, in my Bible, it's a capital S. So it's not some evil spirit. It's not some spirit that is contrary to what God is trying to do. It is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Sometimes the Spirit of God is going to lead you into a place that is not comfortable. He leads us from a place that is comfortable into a place that is challenging to us to take us to what is our ultimate calling. So the Spirit led Jesus out of a comfortable place into a place that is not comfortable, because it was on his way to the ultimate calling that Jesus had over his life. I know we talk about faith to faith and victory to victory, and that is true, but between faith, there is always going to be a testing of God and a tempting of the adversary, and you have to know that the Holy Ghost that you got filled with is not just to make you speak in another language and another tongue, but the Holy Spirit is there designed to get us out of the place of comfortable, to get us in the place of challenging where we learn something, so that when the temptations of the adversary or the testing of God shows up, church, we are ready. So Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Remember, the devil comes to tempt. He does not come to test. He wants us to fail. And listen to this, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. You have to get the timeline. So Jesus is in a comfortable place. His ministry has not started. The Holy Spirit says it's time to move you from the place of comfort. He moves Jesus out of something to move him in something. The Holy Ghost will a lot of times, like a mother eagle, make the nest so uncomfortable that we cannot stay where we are, but we are pushed to go someplace that is not comfortable to where we are. So they go from a nest that they've turned the sticks the other way, and the nest is now uncomfortable to the eaglets, where the eagle literally pushes them out, or they jump out of the nest, and now they're in a place of challenging. But it is in that place of challenging, church, that they realize, I've got these two things on the side of my body that if I flap really hard, I can start flying. Can I just digress for a minute and tell you, you've got some things in you. You've got some things on you that you don't even know are there. But it is when the Spirit takes you from the place of comfort to the place of challenging that you find out who you really are. There's some things that if you'll let the Holy Spirit do in you this week, you're going to say a week from now, Pastor Brandon, I had no clue I could do that. I had no clue what I was capable of. But it took the Spirit leading me to a place out of the comfort into the challenging so that I could achieve my calling. See, if you're in a place of comfort today, go ahead, catch your breath. Go ahead, get you a glass of sweet tea, because you can't live in the place of comfort very long. Why? Because there's a big thing out ahead of you that God has called you to step into. We might preach it as favor sometimes, but sometimes it's not favor. Sometimes it's a great calling that God is getting you ready so that when you get there, when you show up, you will be able to say, I've been through some stuff to get to where I am today. And because I've been tested by God and promoted, and because I passed the temptation of the adversary, I'm able to be what God has called me to be. Isn't it ironic that the devil chooses to wait until after 40 days to show up? You know, in Sunday school, I was always taught that the devil showed up just at the beginning. I mean, Jesus shows up in the wilderness day one, and then the devil's there talking to him for 40 days. That's not how it happened. Because there's two things. There's two things that are two points of your life where the tempter comes. And I'm here to tell you, the devil never shows up when you're at full strength. Never shows up when you're at full strength. He waited for 40 days for the physical body of Jesus to be broken down. See, some of us in this room, we've gone through some challenging times. You haven't been comfortable since 2015. Money's gotten tight. Relationships are not what they should be. Your kids are not acting like you thought they would, and you thought you'd be further down in your life than where you are today, and you are uncomfortable. But it is in that uncomfortable state, in that challenging state, where our flesh gets tired. But thanks be to God, when our flesh is weak, our spirit can be strong. And for 40 days, he's not eaten a morsel of bread. He's not been able to eat anything. But what has been happening is his fasting has led him to be strong in the spirit. And so you might be tired in your flesh, but as long as your spirit is strong, and I've got good news for you, the devil might be able to read your body language, he might be able to read your flesh, but there's one thing he cannot do. He cannot see the level of your spirit man or your spirit woman. He might see me drag in here and say, look at Brandon, he's tired and tired, he's sick and tired of being sick and tired. But what he doesn't tendency is I might not be able to move very fast because of everything I've been through this week. But one thing I have done is I built myself up praying in the Holy Ghost. I've worshiped when my body didn't feel like worshiping. I served when I got tired. When people made it difficult, I pressed on. And the devil can read your body, but he can't read your spirit. Devil, you should have attacked me when I was strong in the flesh, not by power nor by might, but you picked the wrong strong time. You should have attacked me when my flesh was strong and my spirit was weak. But you're so dumb. The devil is an idiot. He's ridiculous in his attempts. He waited until my physical body was crucified. But when my body is crucified, the Spirit of God is vigorously moving on the inside of me. Turn to your neighbor and tell him he should have taken me out when he could have. Man, I got to get going. We just got a couple minutes left. He attacks you at your weakest moment in the flesh, but he also attacks you right before you're getting ready to step into greater. The devil said, I'm going to come against Jesus because he's weak. His body's weak. You're looking at the wrong indicator. You're looking at a fleshly strength. But God, Jesus, was endowed by the Holy Spirit. He was strong in his spirit. And so the devil knew, I've got to stop him. Why? Because there's a wedding scheduled at Cana. And if he gets to that wedding, if he gets to the problem, if he gets to where they need him, and they find out that Jesus is not Joseph's son, but it's God the Father's son, if they ever find out that this was the one that was prophesied, I'm here to encourage you. If you ever find out the kind of God that you serve, if the devil ever finds out the kind of God that you serve, he's not going to know what to do with you. Why? Because he could have taken you out at any moment in time, but he chooses to take you out when you're weak in your flesh, but strong in your spirit, and right before you're about to cross the threshold into destiny, he comes against you with everything that he's got. But I'm here to tell you, when you've got the Word of God as your foundation and you've got the Holy Spirit leading you and on the inside of you, turn to your neighbor, tell him, I'm stepping into greater. I got a couple more minutes. Verse 3, and then the tempter came. And then the tempter came. Waited till his flesh was weak, but he didn't realize his spirit was strong. Sometimes I'm surprised when the devil shows up at my house. Ten devil, you picked the wrong week, man. I think the praise team sings, devil, not today, meaning you should have come last month. Last month was the month you should have taken me out. But you see, this month I've been praying more. And this month I've been in the Word. And this month the rhema has been talking back to me. And this month the logos that I put in me. One word. The tempter says, two letters, and powerful when believed either way. And when the tempter came to him, the first thing he says to Jesus is, if. I-F-if. If right here would connotate doubt, unbelief, and wavering. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to turn to bread. The first thing the devil will do to keep you from getting where God has called you to be is question who you are. Question whose you are. The first question here is identity. The second question is whose son are you? So my first question when the devil comes against me is, Brandon, do you know who you are? And I've got to be able to say, yes, I know who I am. I'm who God created me to be. I'm the best version of myself right this moment than I have ever been. I'm anointed. I'm appointed. I've got all of God's power, all of God's spirit moving on the inside of me. I am not an addition of all my mistakes, but I have been covered by the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. I've got his mercy that is fresh. I'm covered by grace that is sufficient. That's who I am. And if I can get past that question, the next question is, do you know whose you are? All right, all right. If we know who we are, we know whose we are. If thou be the Son of God, turn these bread. Jesus said, I've gone 40 days. I can go 41. Meaning, I've already been through 40 days of what you're trying to tempt me with. I can go another. And if I've got to go five more, I can go five more. If you want me to go a couple more months, I'll go a couple more months. Why? Because there's a greatness on the inside of me. The Spirit didn't lead me in the wilderness to die. The Spirit led me through the wilderness to get to my next destination, my calling, and what God created me to be. If thou be the Son of God, change these rocks to bread. And this is how Jesus responds. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And here's how Logos and Rhema makes it all work here. Logos, as we have mentioned, is the constant word, written word of God. It's the 66 books that have been God-inspired and God-breathed. But the Rhema word is an instant word. It is a speaking word. It is a word that comes straight from God's mouth to your ear, to your spirit. And so Logos is our foundation. Logos is a preparatory word. Logos gets us set up, but it is Rhema that is a performing word in our life. It is Rhema that is a miraculous word in our life. And the ifs of life will rob you of a Rhema if you allow it to. Let's go all the way back to our first session here in Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. And when Jesus came walking on the water and all of the disciples said, it is a ghost. Remember, Logos is what put them in the boat. But listen to what Peter says. And I love how God makes all this make sense as it correlates to Matthew chapter 4. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, if you be thou Lord, if you are Jesus, give me a rhema word to get me out of my boat and get me on the uncertainty and the challenging part of life, because if Logos got me this far, Rhema is going to take me the rest of the way. And I'm here to tell you, get all the Logos you can, because Jesus was able to counteract the enemy during the time of temptation by being able to say, it is written, the Logos word says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. He said, the Logos is not enough without the Rhema. Logos is what is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. That's the Logos. But every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, that's the Rhema. Verse 5, I'm going to do this very quickly. Pastor Becky, if you'll come. Then the devil takes him up to the holy city, sets him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he says unto him again, if thou be the Son of God. There that phrase is again, who are you and whose are you? And a lot of times the devil will come to you a second time with the same question to see if you have the same answer on Tuesday that you did on Sunday. Because the devil knows the same thing we know, that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He needs to make sure that your Tuesday life matches your Sunday life. He needs to make sure that our Thursday faith matches our Sunday faith. Comes against, he said, if thou be the Son of God, he said, I want you to throw yourself off this high place. And he said, the angels will come. And this is what Jesus said, again, rushing to a close. This is what Jesus said, it is written. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. This time he didn't say if. This time he didn't ask who he was, but he said, all these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me. Devil, you can't give to God that which he created. He already owns it. The devil will try to trick you to give you and promise you something that you already have access to. Don't allow the word of the adversary to trump the Logos word. Don't allow the word of the adversary to trump the Rhema word. So check this out. Jesus, all God, all man. All God, all man. The God portion and the man portion, unifying and living together in that body. And this time when he says, everything that you see, I will give to you. And Jesus does not start saying, it is written. Jesus says, get thee behind me. You're going to catch it here in about 20 seconds. This word had never been uttered before. Never been uttered in the Old Testament. Never been uttered in the first 3.5 chapters of Matthew. Jesus had said, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil stayed and he stayed and he stayed and he stayed. Because it is not the written word of God that causes the devil to flee. Because the devil knows what the word of God says about you and about the situation. But what gets the devil on the run from your life is when you get a rhema word. And when Jesus stood up, he did not say it is written and say something the devil had heard before. When Jesus stands up the third time, he says, I'm about to drop some rhema on you. I've told you about it being written, but this time I tell you, get thee behind me, Satan. It is written. He followed up logos with the rhema, with the logos, with the rhema. And guess what? The Bible says the enemy left. Stand on your feet. The enemy left. Didn't leave at the logos. Didn't leave at the cute little scripture that you post on your Facebook wall. Because he's heard it too often. This is why I think that the adversary doesn't respond to logos like he does rhema. Because he's heard too many people use logos in a superficial way, and it has not worked for them. So when I use it, he says, didn't work for that guy, it's not going to work for you. But when I come up with a rhema, the devil says, I've never heard that one. And you announce to the adversary, listen, it's not just the written word. I've got an ear to heaven. I've got a spirit on the inside of me that's talking for me, that's telling me what to say. And when it is written, it is written, the devil just followed Jesus all of these places. But when Jesus said, I've got a rhema, get thee behind me. Get thence from me. Get away from me. The devil left, and the Bible says finally that the angels came and ministered unto Jesus. A rhema word will get the adversary out and get the angels and the spirit in. I want to encourage somebody today that you've got a test that you've been studying for, or perhaps like me in high school, a test that you haven't been studying for. You just figure out you'll cram at the end and hopefully get by, but you're going to be promoted to a place that you can't live at, that you can't dwell at. I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to those of you that you might have chapters of the Bible memorized, and I applaud you for that. Get that word in you. Meditate on it. Pray it. Declare it. All those things. That's logos. But logos, the devil can live with when it's not lived. But when the rhema comes, the devil says, I can't stay. And he goes to another logos-driven person and not a rhema person. And at my house, we're rhema. Mandy tells me what God said to her. I tell her what God said to me. We declare those things and we live in it. We create the world we want to live in by the rhema word of God mixed with the logos word of God, and it produces great things in our life. I'm talking to somebody that's in a test right now. I don't want you to pray about it. I want you to contemplate it. I want you to move right this second. You can pray down here. Don't pray to God saying, God, should I go down?